Welcome to a very special Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Today, get ready for a unique program. Eric Metaxas, author of New York Times best-selling book, Bonhoeffer, and many others, will be having a pointed conversation with Dr. Youssef about Dr. Youssef's newly released book, The Hidden Enemy. Now, the moment they get into this powerful content, you'll want to know how to get a copy of this book. Well, today is the book release day, so you can order The Hidden Enemy by Dr. Youssef when you give a gift of any amount to Leading the Way now. Give us a call, 866-626-4356, or you can go online, ltw.org, to order today. Now, let's join Eric and Dr. Youssef right now.
Hello there. Welcome to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. As you can tell, I am not Dr. Michael Youssef. This is Dr. Michael Youssef. Dr. Youssef, normally you're preaching a sermon. This is a completely different show. There's a topic that's burning on your heart. It's also burning on my heart, but it's really burning on your heart. Yes. So what exactly is the topic?
Well, the topic is the forces of evil that are working in our society. So many people feel it. Some people sense it. Some people don't know how to deal with it, and they're frustrated. So I basically want to put that topic together to explain to people what it is, why they are so frustrated, how they can go about changing the frustration into a plan of action. And so I really want to talk about this for the remainder of our time together. Of what are these forces that are working against us, not only here in America, but throughout the Western civilization.
We're talking about the aggressive secular forces in the West, an aggressive secularism, and radical Islam. Right. What is it that pushed you to actually write this book?
Well, I watched things that's so incongruent. I'll give you an example. Right after the inauguration of Donald Trump, president, the next day, 40,000 feminists. And on the platform, there are all kinds of people, Madonna and so forth. But then there was another woman named Linda Sarsour, who, wearing the hijab, who is an Islamist, and she called herself Islamist feminist. And when she was calling for America to adopt the Sharia, these 40,000 women standing there yelling, yeah, Sharia, Sharia. I said, this is absolutely beyond our world.
I mean, we have to break this down because we don't want this to be lost. What we're saying is so shocking that you have to say it three times and three more times.
Yeah.
We are talking about feminists.
Yes.
Angry feminists who have traditionally presented themselves as the enemy of anything slightly patriarchal.
Or religious.
And what could be more patriarchal or religious than Sharia law? It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but you're saying you saw this.
Oh, yeah, with my own eyes. And here's the thing. If you really know what's the Sharia call for, particularly in relationship to women, you know I have always preached and taught that Jesus is the true liberator of women. He has done things for liberating of women like nobody has ever done. But that's the topic of another time. But the Sharia says that a woman in Islam, half of a man, that indeed she only inherits half of what her brother inherits from his father. And that if the court of law says you need two male witnesses and you cannot find two male witnesses, you have to have four female witnesses. So this is to give you an idea of what this Sharia is about. And so when these people, total ignorantly of what the Sharia is saying, yeah, Sharia, Sharia, and then she says, yeah, because if you had the Sharia, you would not pay interest on your mortgage. Right is like a great Muslim economist friend of mine said to me, he said, the foolishness of this is that they call it fee, but it's the same amount as the interest. But they call that Islamic banking.
Right.
And the truth is, I have many dear friends who are Muslims. I have friends who are in the highest echelon of governments in the Middle East. They're dear friends. Some come and stay at my house. So I love my Muslim friends, but they hate the Islamists as much as we do. In fact, more, because they know what political Islam is.
I want to interrupt you because I want to backtrack to give your credentials. In other words, when you're writing about aggressive secularism, you're just like me.
Yeah.
Anyone can write about that.
Right.
But when you write about radical Islam, You grew up in the Middle East. You know this world. Tell us a little bit about your history, because you come out of this world.
Right. Well, the first time, I was young in the 60s, but nonetheless, young as I was, I began to think, Mr. Nasser, that's Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was the president, dictator of Egypt. And he declared socialism, but then he declared Islam. And he is the first, to my knowledge, in modern times, to marry socialism or secularism to Islam. And somehow he forced them together. And I remember thinking, even back then, well, this is an amazingly very strange bedfellows. But the two had one thing in common, and that's they just did not want Judeo-Christian teaching. And so when I came to this country over 40 years ago, and I began to see what's going on and the forces are working and how some of the Islamist groups, and again, not Muslims, Islamist. These are the fundamentalists. These are the extremists.
Right.
Working together with secularists. And I said, do they understand that in some Muslim countries, they take some the homosexuals and throw them from high-rise buildings? Here, as Christians, we love them and embrace them. And, you know, this is whatever their choices are, we still love them. You see, that's the thing that it's absolutely baffled me and those who read the book. How can these two things, I call it the two trains are heading away from each other, but eventually they will collide.
Well, the only explanation for these two wildly disparate ideologies to have common ground in this way is that they have a common enemy, which I would say is the God of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And everything that emanates from the God of the Bible.
Yes.
Freedom, love for your enemy, religious tolerance, all of these things which we prize as American values, which come right out of the Bible, is their common enemy.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is that it's not just enough that it's their common enemy. When you describe the insanity of a woman at the Women's March preaching Sharia, it's so bizarre. I guess I have to go to the next step and say, don't you think that this is a kind of a spiritual element, that this has to be forces of darkness? Because it really makes no rational sense.
Now you put your finger on it.
Yeah.
And I always think of the words of Jesus who said, the world will hate you. Even there may be two factions.
Yeah.
And as in the days of Jesus, where factions of Judaism were basically united in hating Jesus himself, that he said, as the world hates me, because the world hates me, it's going to hate you. And so in a sense, we're seeing that literally biblical injunction is being fulfilled in our own eyes.
Yeah.
That we're seeing the world, even though they may be at each other's throat, they may hate each other privately, but they will put their differences aside in order to face this common enemy, and that is democracy, freedom, liberty, and the rule of law, rather than theocratical government.
And another way of looking at it, I guess, is that we have to understand on some level, they don't know what they're doing. So when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense that a woman who prizes her womanhood, who thinks of herself as a feminist, would on any level get within any distance of this kind of anti-woman, genuine anti-woman ideology. It makes no rational sense.
No. And I began to think when I was watching this thing live on television, and I said, you know, I read about in the Bible how the kind of spirit of stupor came upon them and even, you know, fighting each other and so forth. And you see that blindness that comes from above. And I said, this is the blindness that we read about in the Bible, that they're blinding themselves to their own ideology for the sake of uniting together against the one cause. And that's the cause of Christ, from which we in the West have received all of our values.
There is no doubt, and this is something that I can't say that I knew this a long time ago. I learned this in the last few years writing some of my books, to see the clear connection, utterly clear, that out of the gospel comes freedom.
Yes.
Now, it took 15 centuries in a way, right? The gospel arrives 2,000 years ago, but it takes till the time of Martin Luther for the gospel to be freed, in a sense, out of the cage.
Right.
To go everywhere. And suddenly you have nations choosing different churches, people right. choosing different churches. There becomes a freedom, right. which then extends to the secular realm. And in 1776, a bunch of brilliant founding fathers create America.
Right.
There is no way we could have these freedoms
no.
without the gospel. Now, right. I know this and I've written about this,
yeah.
but it does follow that somehow spiritually,
right.
what emanates from the gospel, all of these beautiful things, which bless women,
yes.
which have given women
freedom.
The vote,
yes.
which have given, in other words, all to me,
yeah.
this all comes out of the gospel. It's so bizarre
yeah.
to see these people now who have these freedoms, using these freedoms to attack the place from
right.
which the freedoms came.
Exactly.
So there's tremendous irony.
You know what it's like? It's like this beautiful high-rise building we're in. And everybody says, oh, this is a beautiful building, beautiful high-rise building. But you know what? That foundation, we can't see it, so really it's not necessary. Let's just blast it. Let's get rid of the foundation.
Yeah.
Well, imagine how long the building is going to be here
yeah.
without the foundation. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They want to blast the foundation upon which the whole of Western civilization rests, but the result
yeah.
is going to be collapse of Western civilization.
There's no doubt. And again, if you don't understand how Western civilization works, if you don't understand how self-government and American freedom works, you can't really appreciate this.
No.
In other words, once you see the connections, yeah. then you see if we take this away, the whole thing goes down.
Right.
Our mutual friend, the great late Chuck Colson, said that these people are sawing off the branch
yeah.
that they're sitting on.
Hanging on this.
I mean, right? You're sitting on a branch and you're
yeah.
sawing it off
yeah.
and you're going to fall.
Yeah.
But I think that in a way we've had these freedoms for so long that people take them for granted.
They do.
They sort of assume they'll always yeah. be here.
Yeah. And we got used to it.
Right.
It's like our birthright. And as you know, most of these shows where a person go in front and said, what about this and what about that? They have no idea what
well,
the history.
Yeah.
They don't know the history.
I know.
And therefore they don't know, like I said earlier, the concept of the foundation of this beautiful building.
Yeah.
So they said, well, the foundation is really unseen. Nobody sees it. It's not important. You know, let's just blow it up.
It's kind of funny, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking of all the things that we prize, let's say in America and in the West, right? We say racism is bad.
Yeah.
You can say to somebody, okay, I know why it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You tell me, why do you
think
it's bad?
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, I'm offended you even would ask.
Yeah.
And I say, well, don't be offended.
Tell me
why
that's right.
racism is wrong.
Yeah.
I know it's wrong because the gospel says we are all created in the image of God.
Absolutely.
I get it from the Bible.
Yeah.
The early abolitionists
yeah.
got their values from the Bible.
Yeah.
The civil rights movement in America comes out of the churches.
Yep.
But we get all of these successes, and then we forget that it was serious Christians
yeah.
quoting the Bible
yeah.
that abolished the slave trade,
yep.
that ended Jim Crow laws in America. And these are historical facts.
One of the great books that really impacted me that you have written, Amazing Grace. And when you think about William Wilberforce and the tenacity to take 23 years or even longer
yeah.
to fight because he read the scripture, and he saw from the Word of God and his relationship
yeah.
with others that this is wrong.
Yeah.
And he persevered. And he brought the end of slave trading.
Yeah.
And the hospital movement, the library movement, the education movement, you go back to everything that we have
yeah.
today. It all goes back to the gospel and the Reformation.
Okay, this is another key thing. If you know history, you know that when a culture loses cultural confidence,
yes.
The enemies from without attack. We saw it when Rome got soft
yep.
and decadent.
Yep.
The barbarians at the gate, the Visigoths, the Goths, the Vandals, they're just waiting for Rome to be weak and soft, and they attacked and they ended the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
Now, what we have is far superior in America to the Roman Empire, but we're seeing the same kind of thing, that people no longer know, why should I be proud to be an American? What do we have that's so great?
Yeah.
Once you lose cultural confidence,
yes.
you're kind of passive. And then people who believe strongly in what they believe, which is what you just said,
yeah.
will fill the vacuum.
Absolutely.
That's basically, let's face it, it's happening in Europe now.
It is happening in Europe, and it is on its way here. And people always say to me, you're an immigrant. Why are you against illegal immigrants? I said, yes, but I am legal immigrant.
Yeah.
I lined up. I had to get security clearance from the local police. I had to get medical clearance from the embassy doctor. I had to get tax clearance. And all of these vettings
right.
that had taken place prior to my coming here, it just thrown out the window. So you bring criminals and you bring drug dealers. And I said, well, yeah, because that's being kind.
Yeah.
That's not being kind, that's being foolish. Not long ago, I saw a documentary on an Arab, well-known Arabic news channel, not Al Jazeera, but one really respected one.
Yeah.
They documented because they went on the border with Mexico and they interviewed.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how many Arabic-speaking people were coming in with those from South America. And because, you know, we tend to look alike and I have the kind of that kind of skin, people don't ask questions. But that particular television document, it just blew me away of how many Arabic-speaking people yeah. coming in as illegal immigrants, and then you don't know where they went.
I have to say I'm shocked to hear that. I'm dismayed to hear that. This all sounds like bad news, but we want to be clear.
Yes.
You and I truly, we have hope.
Yeah, amen.
We believe what the Bible says.
Yes.
Be anxious for nothing. It doesn't say be ignorant.
Sure.
You can know what's wrong.
That's right.
You can document it.
Yeah.
You can be clear. You can be aware. You can tell people.
Yeah.
But never be anxious.
Yes.
But pray. Put your hope in God. I mean, I think
right.
it's important for us to say that
sure.
because a lot of times people just think, you know, you're being alarmist. And
yeah.
I always want to say, look, we wouldn't want to be alarmist. We just want to tell what's happening so people can be wise and
right.
so they can combat it
right.
with wisdom. And you said it earlier that people in America, in a way, they're very passive. I think one of the problems with American culture is that everybody wants to be liked.
Right.
And because my parents are from Europe, we didn't have this problem in my
no,
family.
No.
My mother and father were very outspoken
sure.
when they see something.
Yes.
But when you see things like this going on in your children's school,
yeah.
I would
exactly.
not just say, well, who
exactly.
am I?
Yep.
They're the professionals.
Yeah.
In a sense, Christians and Americans need to be bolder.
Yes. And they confuse kindness with speaking the truth.
That's it.
You see, speaking the truth in love is the formula that the scripture gives us. By the same token, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And the problem is, we have so many people who are ashamed of the gospel. I'm talking people in the churches.
Yeah.
They're ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
And they're kind of almost embarrassed, say, well, I'm a Christian, and mumble it because they think that people are going to view them as, you know, ultra-right wing and so
yeah.
forth. Don't
yeah.
realize that I said this to a neighbor of mine, a very, very secularist, and I gave her a book, one of my books, and she said, I said, did you read it? She
yeah.
said, no, because I opened the first page and said, I write this book as a Christian. So she said, I closed it and put it by my bed. And she's in one of the big news media organizations. So I walked in and said, what to you is a Christian? Well, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and Jim Crow and all, you know, this kind of hating. And I said, do you know anything about what Jesus said? And I began to tell her what she said, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Christianity?
Yeah.
I said, yes.
Yeah.
That's what the Christian faith is, because some people have misspoke the scripture or
yeah.
pretended to be part of the Christian community, but they're not.
Yeah.
They have their own political ideology. It doesn't mean that our faith has changed. It hasn't changed. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And when she gets it, I'm going to go back and read the book. And that is the message we need to give people. Look, we are speaking the truth, but we're speaking it in love. We're not taking weapons, because our weapon is love, not the weapons of man, not the weapons of other religions that they want to kill in the name of their religion. But we want to exercise and use that weapon, and our weapon is to love people. And because we love them, we want them to know the truth. And you know, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East are showing this. In the Middle East, for the first time, I am watching some very well-known secular media personalities in the Middle East who are coming on television and saying, these Christians, they're made of iron. They keep forgiving their enemies. The enemies keep killing them and bomb their churches, and they kept saying, we forgive them. And for the first time, I am seeing some very, very significant people in terms of their society, their culture, who are really even questioning, you know, they're Islam, and then they're seeing the Christians. See, they are actually should be our role model, the Christians in the Middle East.
Oh.
And I'm watching with a great deal of interest of how they're handling this most horrendous circumstances in which, and I tell you, there was a bombing last year on Palm Sunday. Several churches were bombed in Egypt. And then the following Sunday was Easter. And I was talking to a very high official of the church, and all the churches. And you know, there are 10 to 15 million Christians in Egypt. But they said they took counts of the people who came to church on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and there were over 1 million people more, the aggregate number, than the previous Easter Sunday. As if people saying, that's fine, you can kill us if you want to, but we are not going to back up from worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that communicated volumes, because it was in the secular media, it was in the press. You know,
we need to see that in America.
Yeah, amen.
We really need to see it in America. It used to be called muscular Christianity, right? It's Christianity. Jesus is at the core, but it's not mushy or it's not people-pleasing. It's kind of like when people misunderstand when Jesus says, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
There's something heroic and powerful.
Absolutely.
In saying, go ahead, strike me. Go ahead, kill me.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of death.
Right.
I worship the God who is the Lord of life, who conquered death. I mean, if you really believe this,
yes,
which we say we do, you live differently.
No question.
And people notice,
yes,
and they're kind of shocked, and they say, there's something there.
Right.
Even if I don't like something about you, I can't help but seeing this other thing.
Exactly.
That, to me, is the key to all of this, to
yes,
people see Christ. And when you see people in the Middle East going through this hell,
yes,
with this, with joy, and with faith. I mean, it really is humbling to us.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the commentators was interviewing the son of a man who was killed in a church bombing. And he was saying to him, if this was my father, I want to go and kill them all. And the man said, no, but my Lord Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. And he said, that's how I prayed for the people who bombed that church and killed my father. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. And that communicated volumes to the millions of people who are watching in that medium. So we come back, you know, kind of full circle to this book and why I wrote it, The Hidden Enemy. I wanted, and it is my prayer, and I hope that there will be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of you out there, who are going to join with me in prayer that God would use this simple book to awaken the armies of the living God, the Church of Jesus Christ, to the truth of the gospel and to how to go about it in communicating it to a hostile world. At the same time that we ourselves not hostile. Paul said that our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's not against people, it's against the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. And don't forget, our war is a spiritual war. And it's going to take you and me and millions of us on our knees crying to God and deciding to make a difference. And I hope that this will be the message that you're going to get from this book.
Well, Dr. Yusuf, it's a fascinating conversation, maybe because these are things that are so close to my heart, but it's thrilling to me that not only are they close to your heart, you wrote a book about it. Congratulations on writing The Hidden Enemy, and I hope we can talk some other time. This has been a joy for me.
The clock is ticking for Christians in America and the Western world, and time is running out. We try to go about our daily lives, but the truth is we know something is wrong, terribly wrong. In fact, the world has gone so crazy that it's almost impossible to articulate the problem anymore. And that's why the new book by Dr. Michael Yusuf is so critical for this moment in our history. The Hidden Enemy, Aggressive Secularism, Radical Islam, and the Fight for Our Future is the first book of its kind, revealing the monumental challenge of a two-front war that followers of Jesus are facing today. The Hidden Enemy is available now for your gift of any amount. You can call or visit us online at ltw.org.
And while you're there, watch the complete discussion with Eric Metaxas on our watch page. Again, ltw.org. You can also speak to a ministry representative to learn more. 866-626-4356. Once again, 866-626-4356. Well, that's about all we have time for today. But do join Dr. Yusuf next time when he once again passionately proclaims uncompromising truth on Leading the Way. You can listen to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Yusuf everywhere, on the radio, on the web, and on your app. Visit ltw.org to learn more.